This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
The backbone of our organization is what we call living your one thing. This is a community of people who are saying, I actually want to start living this. Because you read the book, it's simple, and you go, oh, this is awesome. And then you try to live it. Oh, and you realize it's simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
So we have an entire community of people, thousands of people that are in this program where they get access to courses, they get access to group coaching, they get access to a community. We help them form keystone habits throughout the year, that type of stuff.
So do you have one thing trained professionals?
Yes.
Okay. We have a certification program because
when we work with companies, I don't care if you got five people or 500,000, literally, if you want to make it part of your culture, it's not about having us come in. It's about having people inside that we certify to be experts in driving this into the culture. And we consult with them so that they have the strategy and the direction and it shifts the culture.
Right. So you go into a large company, let's say, not always, but you go into a large company and you either ask them or help them identify who are going to be the 5, 10, 20, 200 professionals in their organization that are going to get trained on your methodology.
That's right.
Right? But if someone's a solo, they can also, freelance people too, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey there, I'm Jeff Woods. I'm the president and co-founder of the training company behind The One Thing. We help people better invest their time by having a relationship with their goals so they can achieve extraordinary results.
All right. We're on the mic. Jeff, thanks for coming on the podcast. We still can't figure out how we connected. I might have reached out to you through LinkedIn. I'm not sure, but doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't. Grateful to be here. Thank you.
I appreciate coming. All right. So I was introduced. That's who I thought who connected us. The person who told me about The One Thing, which I'm now going to have to figure out who that is when I get off of this podcast, because I'm thinking it was my friend Sandy. I don't remember, but I have to look that up. So I've been listening to The One Thing because I don't read as much as I used to. And the whole concept makes sense. I read into that stuff, but maybe we could go backwards. I know you said you live in Austin, but I don't know your background, where you're from.
Sure.
I got into entrepreneurship and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, sure. So why don't we start with what The One Thing is so people Perfect. Have the context, and then we'll rewind as to how the heck this happened.
Perfect.
So the One Thing started as a book. It came out in 2013. It is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results.
Right.
And pretty quickly, the book took off and became one of the highest rated business books of all time. And when that happened, the co-authors, Gary Keller and Jay Papazian, looked at each other and said, this book needs to become a company. But there was a problem. Gary Keller's one thing is being chairman of Keller Williams. It's the largest real estate company in the world. Yeah, these are
he's
the
a little busy. He's a little busy.
And by the way, these are the principles Gary used to scale KW. He's a self-made billionaire as a result.
Yeah, that's where the book came from, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
His partner, Jay, his co-author, his one thing is writing books with Gary. And they're going, well, this needs to become a company, but you already have a one thing. I already have a one thing. We need somebody whose one thing can be the one thing.
Oh, that's where you came in. Very good.
At the time, I was in medical device sales in Southern California.
Okay.
I was waking up every day, running through hospitals, selling a device that saved lives. I tried to get my wife to call me McDreamy. She says no.
Isn't that when you sometimes have to go in the operating room, right?
I did have to do that. Yeah. That wasn't my primary device, but I had to do some neurosurgeries from time to time, which was that stuff was cool. But anyway,
I don't know if I could be in a room where a guy's brain's open. I don't know. Just me.
No, different strokes for different folks.
That's for sure.
But you know, Mitch, I was at this point in my life, and maybe some of your people can resonate with this, where even though things are good, something feels like it's missing.
Yeah. Well, you're hustling. I mean, it's good sales experience, but you're really hauling ass around. There's no question about it. I know the guys that do that stuff. Yeah.
I just remember feeling like I was meant for more.
Okay.
And looking back on it, I didn't have enough pain in my life to compel me to take action.
Usually what it is, right?
Uh-huh.
You don't just do it because we wake up home and be like, hey, everything's great. Let's change.
That's right. Don't
do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, two things happened that forced it. The first, it was a colleague of mine had a stroke. And at the time he was 35.
Ooh, that's tough.
For some context, my wife and I had just bought a house in Orange County, just had our first child. And my wife decided to become a stay-at-home mom.
That's Southern California, Orange County?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I remember standing in my kitchen, Mitch, in my scrubs, wondering if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what would happen to my family?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was unsettling. And then the next week, my company made a change to my commission structure and overnight I lost 40% of my income.
Yeah, they always do stuff like that.
Right. So you put those two things back to back and all of a sudden my pain was elevated and I'm realizing,
Not so scary to make a change because you have less to lose.
There you go.
Right.
So you ever heard the Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with?
Yeah, sure.
Jim Rohn did something really crazy. I actually made a list of who my five were. A lot of people hear the quote, but they don't actually make the list. Right. I made the list. And when I looked at the list, I was overwhelmed with gratitude because I had five amazing friends. And then I had the aha moment. I was missing five amazing mentors.
They weren't your mentors.
They were my friends, but they were not my mentors. Because my dream was to wake up one day owning a business that made a big impact in the world and delivered real security for my family.
Yeah.
And those friends are still in my life, but they weren't qualified to advise me on how to build that kind of business.
Right. And that they're just your friends, right? They don't do
right.
that. Yeah.
That's right. And that became my one thing, upgrading my five.
Okay. And
you fast forward, I had...
But you didn't even know the concept of the one thing at that point.
Nope. But when I realized it, I was already living it. I made that my focus. How do I upgrade my five? How do I surround myself with people who are where I want to be? You fast forward, it's our national sales meeting for my medical device company. I walked into the room. There was like 1,500 chairs in the room, big company. And on every chair was a copy of the one thing. And then out on stage walked Jay Papazian, who co-authored.
Okay. Never heard of it before in your life.
Nope. And I remember looking and going, okay, this is cool. But it was one of those defining moments in my life, Mitch, because Jay for the next hour blew my mind. And I remember sitting in my seat wondering, how the heck could I get a guy like Jay to be one of my five?
Yeah, no, that's...
What would it look like if Gary was one of my five, right?
Yeah, well, obviously, right.
And then, of course, I get all the limiting beliefs. Who am I? What could I say to them to make them
interested? Right, of course.
What could I give them?
They're not going to talk to me.
Right.
Right.
So Jay finished, standing ovation. And when everybody else sat, I was still standing. And it was another one of those moments where you ever had a moment, Mitch, where your mind is telling you to do one thing, but your heart's pulling you in a different direction.
Right.
That was it. My mind was saying, Jeff, sit down. And my heart was saying, go. Before you know it, I am literally running down the side of the ballroom because I've got to be the first guy to get to Jay. and I intercepted them, and that began a relationship. I didn't realize that The One Thing had already become one of the highest rated business books of all time. And I had no clue that for over a year, Gary and Jay were hunting for somebody whose one thing would be The One Thing. And for a variety of reasons, that ended up becoming my opportunity. And so I moved my family from Southern California to Austin, Texas to partner with them. And the three of us co-founded this company. And it's amazing what's happened.
So it wasn't a company at that point?
Nope.
Right. Because Jay writes books and Gary runs Keller Williams. They didn't want to start a company. They wanted to start a company with someone else.
And here, this is an interesting lesson that I learned. You know the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire?
A zero?
A millionaire sees an opportunity and asks, how can I do it?
Okay.
A billionaire sees an opportunity and they don't lift a pinky until they find somebody who can make that their opportunity inside their world.
Okay. I'll buy that, because I've interviewed a lot of entrepreneurs, serial entrepreneurs, like real entrepreneurs.
They run through walls and they've built a great net worth. But if you talk about people who truly get to the triple comma club, if you will, they are masters at finding people and making it their opportunity.
Yeah, they don't run the companies. They find the right people, put them in place, and they work at the 30,000 feet. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, my friend Aidan Cartwright, he's kind of a Richard Branson type out of London. He does that. He's got 7-8 companies and doesn't run any of them.
There you go.
Yeah. So are Gary and Jay involved in the company at all?
Yeah. They're my partners. They're the board.
Okay. Yeah, but they're busy with other things too.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's go back there. You had to chase him for a while, no? He's like, who's this guy? There must have been 100, how many people were in the room?
1500.
Okay. So everybody wanted to talk to him. So how did you get his attention? Let's talk about that.
I was the only person that approached him.
Really?
Yes.
Well that's not a good story. We got to change that story. It's got to be like you fought your way through.
Well, here's the story. One, there's a lesson in that, which is people always think,
that's the lesson, right?
I shouldn't approach him because everybody else is. No, very few do. The number of times I was on a podcast and I would give out like my cell phone number or my direct email.
I've done it all the time. Nobody calls me.
Emails, and nobody nothing. Calls. Nobody right. does.
Yeah, they don't.
But here's
it's like the pretty girl in high school. Like nobody asked her to the prom and they're like, well, why does she have a date? Well, because everybody else thought she already had a date.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the story of how we got into a relationship, that's worth telling. When I approached Jay, I did something that I had learned as a result of surrounding myself with people who are where I wanted to be. Okay. See, Mitch, prior to going on my journey to upgrading my five, I was the guy that would show up at a networking event looking to get, not looking to give.
Right.
I would be wondering, what can this person do to help me? And the moment I realized they couldn't help me, I'd be not interested, not listening, and I'm off to the next one.
No, it's a giver's gain world. It should be. Yeah.
That's right. So what surprised me was when I started meeting really successful people, they were present in the conversation. They made you feel like the most important person in the room. And I kept hearing the same question over and over again. Out of everything you're focusing on, where do you need help most right now? How can I help you? And it shocked me. What do you mean, how can you help me? You're up here. I'm down here. What do you mean, how can you help me? But if you're going to surround yourself with the right people, you might as well model how they behave. So when I approached Jay, I said, Jay, my name's Jeff Woods. First and foremost, thank you. I am at this crossroads in my life. Your story absolutely inspired me. I feel compelled to help you. So my question is, out of everything you're focusing on, where do you need help most right now? How can I help you?
Okay,
and he said, well, we're looking for some more exposure for the book. I said, well, I actually have a podcast. It's called The Mentee.
Oh, you had a podcast at that point.
I did. I later sold the podcast and that business behind it. That's another story.
Okay.
Entrepreneurship. I said, I'd be happy to interview you for the show and spread the message. He goes, that'd be awesome. At the end of the interview, I asked him, out of everything you're focusing on, where do you need help most right now? How can I help you? He said, you know, I'm looking for more exposure for the book. I said, well, I have a relationship with a lot of podcasters. I'm happy to get you booked on their shows. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. No problem, man. I'll make the intros. So I got him lined up and then I circled back.
He became his publicist.
How'd the interviews go? What are you focusing on? How can I help?
Got it. So you were, you know, it's funny that you found it surprising that these people had that approach and attitude, because you had already started down the road of, hey, I'm going to upgrade my top five. Nothing bad about your friends, right? We all love our friends, but in terms of success and the road you wanted to be on, you wanted to upgrade the five. And then when you did, and you started seeing these people, you were like, wow. And it, I guess it all clicked, right?
That's right. So the third time I asked him how I could help, he gave the exact same answer: looking for more exposure. He had no idea I was writing for entrepreneur.com at the time. So I wrote an article and I blasted it out on social, and I saw him sharing all my posts. And guess what my response was? What are you focusing on? How can I help? Four times I asked how I can bring value. Zero times did I ever ask for anything in return. And that fourth time I asked, his answer changed. He said, Gary and I are looking for a CEO for a publishing company. And I remembered thinking of three men I had come in contact with who I thought might be a good fit. And so I told Jay, I know three people.
You didn't think about yourself, right? No. You're like, well, who can I introduce you to?
Who can I introduce you to? Right. I'm trying to bring value. And when we got on the phone for him to describe the job, he didn't describe those three guys. He described me. And because I had been the person that consistently came from contribution.
Right. Of course.
When I said, hey, it's not these other guys, I think it's me, I had earned enough credibility to earn the right to begin the interview process.
You know, I think people don't realize the credits or emotional bank account or whatever you want, the term you want to use, you build up by being a giver and being the person who helps other people. You are helping yourself. Right. It's just people don't see that. They're too short-sighted to say, well, I mean, look, if you're not going to introduce me to anybody, what do I need to talk to you for? As opposed to saying, listen, Jeff, how can I help you? I mean, look, you and I can network, and I'll have a lot of people introduce you to, and I'm sure you will meet. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm a small business attorney in New Jersey. I'm looking to do, but that's, you never look down the road. You just keep helping. And if you have that attitude, I mean, that's the wealthiest people in the world, the most successful people, let's say, have that attitude.
That's right.
You know, that's just the way that it goes.
That's right.
So what year was that? Do you remember when?
November 1st, 2015 was my first day. So that was early 2015 that happened, because it was a 5-month long interview process. And I literally remember November 1st was my first day on the job.
Oh, so even though you said, oh, I think I'm the right guy, you went through 5 months of interviewing with them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Our hiring process is so thorough. Especially when you're looking for a leader or somebody to start a business, it's very detailed because it's like a marriage.
Right. But who was running that hiring process? There was no company at that point. I understand you have a good hiring process, but Jay was driving that?
Yeah. So Gary, I mean, you have to put the context. Keller Williams is a franchise.
Right.
Which means Gary doesn't get to tell the 200,000 agents what to do. They're a voluntary army. So he had to have clear models and systems to help a small business owner scale a big business inside the Keller Williams ecosystem. So the hiring process, I don't even know how much money Gary dropped into that, to developing that. I know it's in the multiple tens of millions of dollars to get it to where it is today. I mean, it's literally a book, step by step, how to do it. So Jay ran that process with me.
Got it. Okay. All right. 5 months is a long process. Now, you were still living in California at this point. You didn't know if you were going to move or whatever, right? So you moved to Austin. Did you buy a house or did you wait? You figured, well, maybe this isn't going to work.
I waited 10 months so that we could scout the right location, and then we bought.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know the town or the area, right? You're not from Texas originally, are you?
No. I'm so far from a Texan.
Yeah, you don't sound like you're from Texas. No. It's funny. I meet people like on Zoom calls and they're like, yeah, I'm from Texas. I'm like, you sound like you're from Brooklyn or something.
I was walking to the office with purple shirts and pocket squares and they had like boots on. I'm like, I'm going to get you guys some pocket squares.
Yeah, like you're not wearing boots and a 10-gallon hat, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So tell me about, you had alluded to some other things. So have you done, before medical device sales, have you owned any other companies? You've been an entrepreneur?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I just wanted to know.
The thing that qualified me for the job was they were specifically looking for somebody who is what they called emerging talent, meaning they hadn't done the job before, but they had the core skills to the point that if you looked at that person's future and extrapolated mm-hmm. out, what's their next job or their next job or their next job, would starting a company be along that path? Because for Gary and Jay, they want to find somebody who's early, who has the core skills that they can then coach and mold into their culture. So I was a fit for that. And they were looking for three specific things. Somebody who had a strong sales background, who had a strong finance background, who knew how to turn content into dollars.
Yeah. And you were already doing that. You were writing.
I had a sales background. I was an accounting major and I turned the mentee into a six-figure business in 10 months.
So, okay. So let's talk about the company, because I know it's a book, but how does a book become a company?
Sure. One thing at a time is the answer, but let's talk about what we do. We're in the business of time.
Okay.
When you think about it, it is our most valuable resource.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Most people are spending their time. They're not investing it. And there's a difference.
Yeah.
Your
does
money.
Does he say that in the book? I think he does, right?
Nope.
No, but I when heard you somewhere.
When you make an investment of your dollars, Mitch, what do you expect?
Yeah, you expect a return.
How many people do you think go through their days holding their time to the same standard?
Yeah, no, very few people.
Very few. Yeah. And that's why we do.
Because people don't value their time like they should.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're in business. We help people better invest their time by having a relationship with their goals so they achieve extraordinary results. So let's talk about how we do that.
Yeah.
Here's the business model. Content reach drives engaged email subscribers, drives customers, which drives profit, which funds technology. Now let's break that down. We create content that reaches millions of people, that builds authority and trust to the point that they get on our email list.
Okay.
And nurture the list in a way that they are an engaged email subscriber. And we continue to bring value so that they eventually become a customer of ours, whether that is they're a company that we help them create a productive culture, whether they're an individual who wants to go through our online training, whether they show every year we facilitate a couple's goal setting retreat. We're doing it virtually this year. Or whether they want to get a one-on-one coach. Like there's lots of ways that we work with people. That funds the profit, which funds the investment in technology that is designed to help people better invest their time by having a relationship with their goals so they can achieve extraordinary results.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSight Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSight. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSight and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
So is the technology something that people get from being involved with the one thing, or is it something you guys use to help people?
It's something that we're going to be creating. We haven't done it yet.
Okay, so
we're going there. We're going there soon.
Okay, but it all makes sense. So you're running in the simplest form. The company has a marketing system. It's basically a funnel that captures people that are like-minded. Is that the right word? That fit your profile, that you get their attention for some reason because that resonates with me.
I'll rephrase it. We put out really high-level content, whether it be the book, whether it be the One Thing podcast, and if it strikes a chord with people, they end up on our email list for one reason or another.
Right. Well, they want to learn more about your world and what you guys are doing. Sure.
And then it's about how do we help them on their journey? How do they start applying it? And for some people, they can do that for free. And there are some people that really want to be more purposeful with it and they want actual training with it. And that's where the back-end business side of it is.
Well, yeah, sure. Because you want to, you don't want to do everything for free. So you want to monetize it as you give more value where people can. So can people join a community?
Yes. Do
they sign up for courses?
Yep. So the backbone of our organization is what we call living your one thing. This is a community of people who are saying, I actually want to start living this. Because you read the book, it's simple. And you go, oh, this is awesome. And then you try to live it. Oh, and you realize it's simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
So we have an entire community of people, thousands of people that are in this program where they get access to courses, they get access to group coaching, they get access to a community. We help them form keystone habits throughout the year, that type of stuff.
So do you have one thing train professionals?
Yes.
Okay. Like coaches and mentors?
Yeah, we have a certification program because there are, when we work with companies, I don't care if you got five people or 500,000, literally, if you want to make it part of your culture, it's not about having us come in. It's about having people inside that we certify to be experts in driving this into the culture. And we consult with them so that they have the strategy and the direction and it shifts the culture.
Right. So you go into a large company, let's say, not always, but you go into a large company and you either ask them or help them identify who are going to be the 5, 10, 20, 200 professionals in their organization that are going to get trained on your methodology.
That's right.
Right. But if someone's a solo, they can also, freelance people too, right?
And, oh gosh. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about the book though. Cause that's where people would start. They'd read the book. I'll put a link in the show notes. We'll put you on our little Amazon, affiliates page or something.
There you go.
And help you guys promote the book. But, I thought that And I'm not done. I read a lot of books all at the same time. Listen to books. Is that Gary, by the way, or Jay?
No, professional.
Okay, I never know. But
Gary's at the beginning. But you'll hear the Texan at the beginning. You'll know it's him.
Let's talk about the principles of the book, though, because it's a simple concept. What is your one thing, and just do it. But it's not that easy, right? Because you can't just in your life shed everything that you do. You'd like to, but I find it difficult. So let's talk about those principles.
Well, I think this is one of the biggest misconceptions, Mitch, is people hear the title of the one thing and they feel doubt because they go, I have more than one thing.
Right.
The truth is we all do. And it's about understanding that the path to getting everything you want starts by getting one thing at a time. This means you think big in terms of your vision, but you actually have to start by going small. Imagine it's like a 2-inch little domino that's so small that effortlessly with the flick of the finger, all the other dominoes will fall. And what this is about is understanding what your priorities are. Everything that's on your plate is not of equal importance. Everything does not matter equally. And when we were kids, we actually understood this. Because if you've ever lined up dominoes, you didn't just stand them up randomly and flick them down one at a time. You stood them up, lined them up, and all you had to do is whack away at the first one first, and everything else became easier or unnecessary. It's the same thing with our professional life, and it's the same thing in our personal life. When you can get clear of all the stuff that's on your plate, what is the one that matters most?
Right.
And start by whacking
away. Though. You could have more than one thing, right? But you got to choose.
Well, you ready for a story?
Stories are good.
Yeah, stories are good. My first 90 days, I was being tested on three things.
Okay.
My ability to cast a vision for the business, my ability to drive revenue, and my ability to recruit talent. Those are the three things I had to do in 90 days or I was fired, literally.
That's when you started middle of November.
Yes.
You're talking December, January, February. So by the middle of February, you had to reach those three goals.
That's right. And that's, by the way, what we call a job description. The 2 to 3 things you have to do exceptionally well or you're fired. I'm not kidding. Or you're fired.
Well, but maybe every job description should be that concise. I don't know.
Wouldn't it be that nice?
About the firing part. That's kind of hanging over your head.
It's about understanding what's the 20% of your role that drives 80% of your results and proving that you can do the 20% really well. And it brings, and sure, for us,
probationary period.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a leader, I don't want to just cross my fingers and hope that they can do it. I'm going to give them a timeline. Let's do it.
Right.
I'm going to coach them. I'm going to hold them and let's see if they can do it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions with management. You bring somebody in, you're all excited about them. You think they're great. You test them out, you put them through your process, but you don't hold them to a time frame. And then one day you're like, I don't know, this person is not cutting it. And it's a tough decision.
Yeah. One of my partners, Abe, said people, leaders hire somebody and they mistake their potential for a proven track record.
Yeah, that's a good observation. Because I've done it.
Yeah,
haven't we? I've been there, you know?
Yeah, we are.
So you obviously got those three things done in 90 days.
So here's the interesting part of the story. We started with vision.
Right.
And in order to cast a vision for the business, I had to create what we call a GPS. A one-page business plan, just like the GPS on your phone. You type in where right. you're going to go, and it's going to tell you how to get there. And it also stands for something. G stands for goal. P stands for priorities. S stands for strategies. So it's one big goal. It's your major 20% priorities to accomplish the goal, and then it's the supporting strategies of each priority. It's one side of one page, literally. And so I walked into the boardroom, and I handed Gary and Jay each a copy of my GPS, and we started talking about number one. Gary and Jay asked a bunch of questions about it. I answered them and asked, are we good? They said, yes. So I moved on to number two. About halfway through number two, Mitch, Gary started asking more questions about number one.
Okay.
I remember just going, oh, he must've forgotten. So I answered the questions, asked if we were good. He said, yes. I wrapped up number two, started talking about number three. Guess what Gary did?
Yeah. So did he go back to number one or number two?
He went back to number one. And it was in that moment. You ever seen Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
You know, the Circle of Trust?
Meet the Parents is the Fockers.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember the Circle of Trust?
Right.
I was like Focker. They were Robert De Niro. I was out of the Circle of Trust. Why did Gary keep going back to number one? I couldn't figure it out. All I could do was answer the questions.
Okay.
And ask him, are we good? He said, yes. I went back to number three. And after about 10 seconds, he just stopped me. And he asked, Jeff, do you need to do number three in order to do number two? Mitch, I thought about it and I went, no. And he asked, do you need to do number two in order to do number one? I said, no. He then said, you know what? Do me a favor. Draw a line between number one and number two. He waited while I drew the line. And then he said, even better, rip the page in half. Mitch, I kid you not, he waited while I took my business plan and tore it down the line. And then he said something that truly changed the way I view time. He said, don't even think about number two or number three until you've earned the right to by mastering number one. This is what I learned in that moment. My entire career, I had fallen trapped to the number one lie of productivity. The lie that everything mattered equally. I looked at our business. I was clear about my goal and I knew these were my three priorities. But what I did is I divided my focus between the three evenly, thinking I had to move them all forward. And here was Gary saying, that's not how you do it.
Right.
Be clear about number one. If doing the most important thing is the most important thing, then why do anything else until you've earned the right to? He was just saying, narrow your focus, man. Just really crush this number one because it's going to make everything else easier and necessary.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Now let's pull the curtain back. I want to be clear. This doesn't mean I didn't do anything else. It doesn't mean I didn't check
email. Right, of course.
It doesn't mean I didn't go to meetings, but it meant stop treating things like it mattered equally and be clear about what matters and give it your undivided share for a larger share of time.
Okay. Well, it's a lot about time management and prioritizing things, right?
There you go.
Yeah. No, well, we definitely, I mean, that's the whole key to any of the survival techniques in business when it comes to dealing with things on a daily basis. It's coming in and making sure you do the important stuff, not the stuff that you, not putting out fires all the time and not getting involved in the minutia.
Well, and let's go back to early man. We understood this a long time ago. We got up and we went and we hunted. It's not like we went hunting for 30 minutes and went up, 30 minutes is up. It's time for me to go sit at the campfire. Sorry, family. I didn't get any food.
Well, death has a lot to do with that.
Right.
We understood
one thing was, and we focused on it until we earned the right to shift our focus.
Right.
But you fast forward to today, there's so much that's going on. There's stuff being more to do than there is time, technology notifications, email, text, other people.
It's ridiculous.
We have an opportunity to go back to what we knew from our childhood. Simply look at all the stuff that's on your plate. Imagine them like dominoes. Let's just stand them up and put them in alignment so that we just go to the first one and whack away at that first one first.
Well, that's what I like about the book. It's simplistic from the standpoint of, you know, clear the smoke, get rid of your this, and just do the things that are most important. You look at all those books. I'm reading a book, Eat That Frog, the Brian Tracy book, and the one-page marketing plan, and you know, all those different types of thought leadership. Let's not call it methodologies necessarily, but they're, you know, they're obviously people that say, hey, you know, don't get lost in the minutiae of your daily life. Because I got business owners, and I'm sure we could fill the room up with them, who go to work and maybe even have a list of stuff to do. And then 4:35 comes in, 6 o'clock comes in, they haven't done anything.
I was really busy. Did I get anything done?
No, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're spending their time and they're not investing it.
That's a good quote. Invest your time, don't spend it. Because you spend your time, you don't get it back. You've spent it, it's gone, right? Yeah. Well, that's the difference between an investment and an expense.
Good job. Good job, Padawan.
Okay. So, well, let's talk more about the book. So, because we were talking about what you started to do, your 90 days, and
what do you want to know?
Well, I want to know more about the, I mean, I guess maybe some of these questions are for Gary, but you know, like, do you know why, like how he got to, he's obviously in a certain place in his life. He's very successful, right? He looks at life a certain way. A lot of that is reflected in the book.
Mm-hmm. So why it was written?
Yeah. How did he get there? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So we have to go further back to
before the caveman days.
Well, no, not quite. Before Keller Williams was Keller Williams.
Okay.
When Gary was trying to build the company, he hit a point where he was frustrated because he felt like KW wasn't growing the way he wanted it to grow and it wasn't getting the recognition he thought it deserved. Every week he would sit down with his top leaders.
Was it a franchise at that point?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was. Okay. So it was a system of offices. Yeah. Okay.
So he'd sit down with his top leaders and he would ask them, what are your priorities for the week? And usually they'd have their top three and they'd talk about them and Gary would ask him questions about them. They'd be online. He'd say, great, go be successful. Mitch, they'd come back the next week and they'd get number two and number three done, but not number one. And so Gary said, all right, if you could only do two things this week, what would it be? And they got clarity on it. Great. Go be successful. They come back the next week. Number two is done. Not always number one. And it was out of frustration that one day he looked at his leaders and said, let me ask you something. What's the one thing you can do such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? Now let's break that question down.
It became a book. So,
right. What's the one thing,
right?
Not the two things, not the three things, not everything. What's the one thing you can do? Not you should do. You feel guilty if you don't do it. You actually can do it. It's a 2-inch domino. That's effortless. Such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary. When he started asking his leaders that question, there was nowhere to hide. They had truly identified their lead domino. And week after week after week, they came back knocking the lead domino down and KW exploded. And there are many other moments where this showed up, like KW hit another ceiling and he wanted to get to the next level and he challenged his leaders to come up with 100 ideas that would put KW on the map. And he literally held them to creating 100 ideas and then he challenged them to narrow it down to one. And that answer was for them to write a book about the real estate industry that became The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which is basically the Bible for agents. It is the gold standard. And that then led to a very profitable and successful book writing career where they said, let's write a book for the everyday person about how to live an extraordinary life. And that's how the one thing came about.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So, let's then talk about where this company's going, because it's well, you said you're working on the technology. So how long have you been with the company now? You came in November of
November 1st will be my 5-year anniversary.
So 15.
Yeah.
November 5th. Okay. And so what does the company look like now? Obviously in November of 15, it wasn't much of anything. It was you and the book and the two of them. Right.
You know, you fast forward today, there's a content division. We have an online training division. We have a full events division. We have a pretty robust corporate training and consulting organization. There's a coaching company. We have physical products.
Right.
There's a lot. We're now at that point where it's time to make the investments in technology because we actually have an understanding of what it is that we want to build.
Okay.
Because building tech without a clear vision of what you want, that's just expensive.
Very expensive.
Right. So now we actually understand the pain points and how tech can help people better invest their time. And that's where I look up and say, okay, I'm missing a person. I'm missing that tech visionary that I can bring inside our world and help them have everything they could possibly want by being inside our world.
So you're on a hunt for that person right now.
Always. I'm always on a hunt for good talent.
So what is the tech looking like? What are you?
I can't share that. Unfortunately.
Oh, you're at that point where, okay, good. Well, we'll keep an eye out for it. So if somebody wants to, they should read the book. First of all, it's a great book. And if they want to get involved in your world, they go to theonething.com, which is the number one, theonething.com, not O-N-E.
Yeah.
But we'll put links in the show notes.
The book and the podcast is spelled out O-N-E, but the website's with the number one. And what I would advise, there's two places I'll point to on the website. One is the free stuff page, because everybody loves free stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of great resources on there. The one I'll point you to, you married by chance, Mitch?
I am married with 3 kids. Yeah.
There you go. So every year we facilitate a couples goal setting retreat.
Okay.
It's hands down one of the best things we do because we as high powered individuals set goals, but what we don't realize is if we have a significant other, we often don't set our goals with them. And it's like, we're the roller coaster ride where we're going up, we're going down, we're turning left, we're turning right. We're doing the loop de loop, but our partner, because we don't do it with them, they're on the same ride, but they're blindfolded. And they're just getting whipped all over the place. So this is a chance for you to set your goals with them. On that free stuff page at the very top, you will see what we call a kick-ass guide to your couple's goal setting retreat. Mm-hmm. This is an army of questions that you could just sit down and start asking, having the conversation with your plus one. It'll change your relationship. And that's like one tiny little element of the retreat that we facilitate. And if you're one of those people that says, hey, I actually want to start living this, go to the training page. You can learn more about the retreat that we facilitate, as well as the corporate training, the coaching, the online courses, all that stuff.
Is the couples retreat virtual at this point because of what's going on in the world?
Yep. November 14th and 15th will be a couples retreat, and November 21st and 22nd will be a retreat for individuals and teams. So separate tracks, same principles, but customized to couples versus individuals and teams.
So last November, it was in person.
Last November, it was in person. Yeah. But this year, that's out the window.
That's for sure. Maybe next year, you'll have to see what happens.
But here's what I'll say. And I got this call as soon as Austin shut down because of the pandemic. Gary has said for a long time, there's a gift in every shift.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of silver linings.
If you look for it. Yeah. For us, I love facilitating in person. That is a unique experience.
Right.
And facilitating virtually, it's going to be a different experience, but it's also created gifts, the ability to serve a heck of a lot more people.
Yeah, you can reach people around the world, right?
That's right. That's right. So there's lots of gifts, but go to theonething.com, free stuff or the training page. I would strongly recommend you check that stuff out. We can absolutely help you.
All right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate your time. When I figure out how we connect, I'll send you an email and say, hey, this is the person that introduced us, because we are connected on LinkedIn, but I don't know. If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.